in the beginning was the Word.
Yeah.
The Word was with God.
Okay.
And the Word was God. Was God.
Okay, so the Word is with God, and the Word is God.
Yes.
At the same time.
Yeah.
Okay.
And did the Word become flesh?
And the Word became flesh.
Flesh.
Yes.
And dwell with us. With us.
Okay, so if the Word is God, and if the Word becomes flesh, God became flesh. Mm. And dwelt among us.
Yes.
That's central to the gospel. That's you miss that idea, you miss everything in Christianity. Nothing else really makes sense. All the other things that happen, there are other things that are central, like the crucifixion and the resurrection, but it is the God becoming flesh, dwelling among us, that actually makes the crucifixion do what it does. What else?
Mike, are you talking about the Trinity?
Yes, this is a big verse that deals with the Trinity.
And you have Jesus.
This deals with at least two people in the Trinity in verse John 1:1. Because God is with God at the same time. That's one, and yet that's two. And there's a sense in which the two are one. What else?
Created.
Okay. The Word created all things. That's what he says about the Word. That's Jesus. He's your creator. Your creator was born in a stable.
Right.
I mean, think about that for a moment. That's what Christmas is about, right? Mm. What else?
The Word is life.
Okay, in Him is life. He is life. And He is the light of all men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And He came to His people. And what happened?
They rejected Him.
They did not receive Him. They rejected Him. Yes. Now that's the verse that we had you memorize last week. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's right. Okay, let's move on. That was all review. And so let's move on. We're going to read starting in verse 35, and we're going to read the whole chapter. We're going to read it in two chunks. We're going to start with 35 to 42. So I will read John 1, 35 to 42. It says, the next day, again, John was standing with two of his disciples. And he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, behold, the Lamb of God. The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, what are you seeking?
Bless you. Thank
you. And they said to him,
bless you.
Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? He said to them, come and you will see. So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother, Simon, and said to him, we have found the Messiah, which means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, you are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas, which means Peter. Okay, I'm going to stop there. And what I would like to do is this. I'm going to give you a minute to look over what I just read. And then I am going to ask you for observations. What did you see there? And I'm just going to let you tell me what you saw. And so go ahead and look at it. Just a minute. And then Tell me what you see in the text in just a minute. Okay. What, just give me something you saw in there. Anything that's in there that you saw. Different people, just fire it at me.
Well, he's starting his ministry, so he's calling his disciples. And he's trying to get his 12 together before he starts the ministry for 3 years.
Okay.
Before he's crucified.
Okay.
So he's calling all these men.
Okay.
I think it says later on, you'll become fishers of men.
Okay, that's coming later.
Oh, I know.
That's not where we are here. Okay.
Sorry.
That's all right. Someone else in the text. What do you see?
I see the word from John the Baptist. He said, "Behold, Lamb of God."
Okay.
He said again. His testimony again to tell you who Jesus is.
Okay. Yeah. Behold. He says that twice. In 2 different days. What else? Somebody else. What do you see?
I saw a lot of person's name here.
Yes.
Like Andrew, mm-hmm. Simon, Peter, or someone else.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I want to know they are real persons.
Yes.
Or just for metaphorical.
No, they're real people.
They're real people.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What they represent?
I don't know that they represent anything exactly. Mm-hmm. Other than themselves, they're going to be Jesus's disciples. They're in the process right now of getting there, but they're not yet his disciples. But Simon Peter will be his disciple. Andrew, who is Simon Peter's brother, will be his disciple. And the other one that follows Jesus, we don't get his name there, but he's going to be one of Jesus's disciples. We don't know which one it is because it doesn't tell us. But they are real people.
Yeah, they're real people.
As was John the Baptist, was a real person. As was Jesus, obviously. So the four Gospels are histories. They're histories of Jesus.
All through the Old Testament and the New Testament, there's a lot of genealogies, lists. So and so was
the son of so and so, the son of so and so, yeah.
The son of so, it's a people, you know, people were connected by birth.
Yeah.
So is that
all the way back to
genealogies?
Is that why they kept repeating it?
What's that?
Is that why they? You keep repeating, okay, this is the son of so-and-so, and so-and-so, and so-and-so. So eventually it goes down to Jesus because he's the line of David.
Hebrew culture, genealogies were important. Of who's, yeah. I mean, even in here, he identifies Simon Peter as the son of John.
Right.
I mean, in this text right here, you just read it. You read that everywhere in Scripture, you find that thing. It was part of the culture. And so that's a way of identifying. Which Simon Peter are we talking about here? It's, well, not which Simon Peter, but which Simon are we talking about here? It's the son of John, you know, so on.
Yeah.
Someone else, what is something you saw in the text?
The conversation. I saw the conversation. The first question Jesus threw to those two followers of John the Baptist is, he asked, "What are you seeking?" And the answer is very interesting. So they want to know, where do you live?
Yeah, that is a,
where are you staying? He said, where are you staying?
Oh.
They didn't really answer his question, did they?
No.
Wow.
So that was a very interesting conversation. Jesus asked you, where are you seeking? So your answer is, where are you staying? Which hotel?
You know, they're following him because John the Baptist sent him there. And what they really want to know is, are you the Messiah?
Yeah, I do.
What are you seeking? That's the actual answer to their question. But that's not what they say. And you understand why. It would be a little awkward, right? He says, what are you seeking? And the first words out of your lips are you the Messiah? That just, That'd be kind of weird. And so,
They didn't have to read.
Okay. So, observations. Somebody else. Somebody who has not talked yet. Okay. What do you see in the text? What's that?
Why did they change the name?
Well, from Simon to Peter. So Jesus talks about that in another place, not here. The word Peter is the Greek word that means rock. Petra, rock. The word Cephas is the Aramaic word that means rock. They're the same word, just in different languages. Cephas and Peter are the same word in different languages. And he says, you are Peter, and upon this rock I'm going to build my church elsewhere. And so he changed his name probably for that reason. There is a sense in which Peter is a rock upon which Jesus will build his church. And he gave him that name. And the name stuck. Okay. Tell me what happens. Just give me the story. Verses 35 to 42, just give me the story. What happens? Yeah.
After they met Jesus, they became disciples of Jesus.
Okay. Yeah, they start following Jesus.
Yeah.
And then one of those disciples, what does he do? Andrew. What's Andrew do?
Is he one of the fishermen?
He ran back home. Jesus
he says to... Yeah, he says to Simon, we found the Messiah.
Find the Messiah.
Okay. That would be an interesting conversation to have. Your brother comes to you and just says, hey, we just found the Messiah.
I don't understand.
Yes.
Why Andrew, how to know Jesus is the Messiah?
So,
good question.
In the story, John says, behold the Lamb of God. John's been talking about Jesus all along. The text says that Andrew and the other disciple were disciples of John. In other words, they're following John. But if you follow John and John's pointing to that guy and you're following him and he says, go to that guy, they go to that guy. So they did. They went to Jesus. And they go to Jesus. And Jesus says, what are you seeking? And they say, where are you staying? And he says, come and see. And it was about the 10th hour, it says. 10th hour is about 4 p.m. And so they go with Jesus to wherever he's staying. And very likely, it's not in here, but very likely they had a good long talk. And at the end of this good long talk, they're convinced. This is the Messiah. And the first thing Andrew does is go get his brother. And he goes and gets Peter and says, we found the Messiah. And so that's what's going on here. So let me ask you a question. We have three disciples here, right? Two of them followed John. And John pointed them to Jesus. The third one is Simon. That's three different disciples. How did they get to come to know Jesus in the first place? All three of them. What's common with all three of them in how they got to know Jesus in the first place?
Through John the Baptist?
Okay. Two of them are through John the Baptist.
The other one is like introduced by his brother.
Yes, the other one's introduced by his brother. And so what do all of them have in common? All three of them.
Well, fishermen.
They're all, well, we don't know what the unnamed one, we don't know what he was.
Mm-hmm.
But Andrew and Simon are fishermen. How did they get to know Jesus in the first place? In every case, it was
someone else
who told them about Jesus. Every single one of them. That's what it was. Now, in terms of following Jesus, what stage are they at right now in following Jesus?
Batch gathering or knowing or meeting.
Yeah, they're exploring. This is really early on. They're exploring. You know, later, when you get into like Matthew, Mark, Luke, especially Luke, in Luke, you know, it says that Jesus calls them, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. And immediately they drop their nets and go follow him. And when you read that in Luke, you think, man, they're kind of impulsive, aren't they? That's fast. They just made up their mind after like 20 minutes. Well, no, they had some prior contact right here. We're reading, this is not that scene. This is a different scene. Simon and Andrew and whoever this other disciple is are having contact with Jesus now, and they're getting to see him and hear him and spend time with him. And then later, they have more contact with him in Capernaum. That's their hometown, where they live now. It's not their original hometown, but it's where they live now. And so they're in the come and see stage. That's where these guys are. Come and see. Mm-hmm. And people go through that stage with Jesus. Yes. There's a come and see stage. And that's fine. Okay, we're going to read the next section, 43 to 51. I'm going to ask you for observations like I did here. So as I read, follow along and start thinking, okay, what observations do I want to bring up? Okay, 43. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, follow me. Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nathanael said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip said to him, come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit. Nathanael said to him, how do you know me? Jesus answered him, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Nathanael answered him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Jesus answered him, because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these. And he said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Okay. Take a minute, look it over, and then I'm going to ask you for observations. Okay. What do you see? Just give me one thing you see.
Making fun of where Jesus is from.
He is. Nazareth apparently had a reputation. Mm. Kind of like, I don't know, Las Vegas has a reputation.
Right.
There are certain places, you know, and it's probably a reputation that the locals knew all about, because Nathanael's from Galilee. Nazareth is a city, and Galilee's a region. Nazareth is a city in that region. And Nathanael is from Bethsaida, which is a different city in the same region. And so he knows all about Galilee. And so, yeah, Nazareth has a reputation. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Come and see. What else? That's good. That's a good observation. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, when Nathanael says, Rabbi, you are the Son of God, you're the King of Israel.
Yes.
It's almost like Nathanael had a revelation that
okay.
Jesus is, in fact, the Messiah.
Yes.
The one they are waiting for.
Yes. He did have a revelation. What caused the revelation?
The fig tree.
The fig tree?
The fig tree, yeah. We don't know what was going on. He doesn't tell us what was going on at the fig tree. But to Nathanael, that's significant. Whatever it was really significant to him. Something important probably was happening under that fig tree. We don't know what. Or there's some reason why that is significant to him. What else? What is something you saw? Don't everyone talk at once.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious to see what this is exactly referring to in the last verse. You will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man.
Okay.
That's not answered here. Maybe not even what the passage is about, other than, you know, Jesus is going to do some amazing things, have amazing things happen to him.
Yes.
So that's kind of foreshadowing that, you know, Jesus is going to rise at the third day, and eventually he's going to ascend to the Father.
I don't know.
I mean, there's some big things that get popped out here, like, oh yeah, you know, you're going to see, you know, angels ascending and descending.
Yes.
And, you know, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You're the King of Israel. Just some really big statements come out of this simple. Seems to be conversation, walking from here to there.
Like those are very big statements. Mm-hmm. You are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Those are big statements. Yeah. Those are all references to Messiah. They're all in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, Messiah is called the Son of God. And in the Old Testament, Messiah is, he actually is the King of Israel. Well, he's more than the King of Israel. He's the King of the whole world. He's your king too. Not just Israel's king. And that's all in the Old Testament. And so it's a very Jewish answer that Nathanael is giving him. Nathanael knows his Old Testament to be talking that way. Okay, what happens? Just tell me the story.
They're just like Andrew approaching Simon, Philip go to approaching Nathanael.
Yes.
He said, we found him of whom Moses in the law, written in the law, and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And at that time, it seems like a Philip doesn't just directly tell Nathanael, hey, we found Messiah. He didn't say that. He said, we found the son of Joseph, Jesus from Nazareth.
Okay.
So that leads to then Nathanael ask, is there any good from Nazareth?
Okay,
so,
yeah.
So just, yeah, and just compare with the last how Andrew approached Simon, is Philip go to find it too. He said, come and see.
Right.
this Jesus, because he know who he is. I believe Philip already know who he is.
Yes, he does.
So he wants to share the good news. Hey, we found
that's
him.
Why he went to Nathaniel in the first place.
He seems really excited to tell him that. Oh, we found someone. Come see.
Okay, so we've now looked at both of those sections. And there are two different days. The next day, and then the next day again. And so these happened on two different days, the stories we just looked at. And you're familiar with what's going on now. So let's kind of talk more. Let's start applying this. So verse 38, look at verse 38. Jesus asks a question. What are you seeking? That is a question Jesus asks you. What are you seeking? So answer that question for me. Somebody, what are you seeking in life?
Happiness?
Okay. What are most people seeking? How would most people answer that question?
Well, they want money, they want fame, they want possessions.
Okay.
Success. You
know, success.
They want
recognition. Is that what you said?
Reputation.
Reputation. Okay. Okay, yeah. Why do they want these things?
They feel it's good for them.
They think it's good for them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Security.
Okay. What are you seeking? Okay. You know, prior to John, we went through the book of Ecclesiastes, and we talked about all that stuff, didn't we?
Yeah.
And it's basically, if that's what you're seeking, you're wasting your life. If that's what you're seeking. Mm-hmm. But the people who seek those things, why do they seek those things? They're broke, meaning they're sinful, broken. Is that what you're getting at?
Yeah.
Or you mean they just don't have any money and they want some money?
No, they're broken in spirit.
Yes.
They're empty. They're broken. They have no purpose, hope. They don't know what's valuable.
They don't. Okay.
They're following the majority of the world.
They are. Okay, so then here are these disciples coming to Jesus, and he's asking them, what are you seeking? But they're coming to him. So, why do you seek Jesus? Why seek Jesus?
First of all, he's our Lord and Savior.
Okay.
And I read this a couple of times at least. You know, Jesus is saying, I'm knocking on the door of your heart. It's up to you to let me in or not.
Okay.
So basically what I think is happening here is Jesus is asking us, what are you seeking?
Oh, yeah. God asks that question of everybody. What are you really seeking in life? And if you really want what you really want, in other words, you know, when people seek money and they seek pleasure and all that stuff, you know what they're really seeking? They want God. That's what they need. They're looking for God in all the wrong places. But if you really want God, seek Jesus. You'll find him. And so these people are doing that. This unnamed disciple and Andrew are coming to Jesus. Now, they're coming because John pointed him out. And they probably were with John because they were seeking the same thing. That's why they started following John. And John says, oh, no, not me. There's someone greater than me. Go there. And so they do. They come to Jesus. Let's talk about not just seeking, but following. It's like another step. What does it mean to follow Jesus? Now here in verse, I'm not sure which verse it is, 32 and 33, when it says they followed Jesus, and Jesus then turned and saw them following, that's a different kind of following. That just means they're walking toward him. Mm-hmm. But when Jesus says to Philip, follow me, that's a different follow me. That's a much more deeper follow me than just walk toward him. What does that mean? What does it mean to follow Jesus?
So you're now his disciple because you accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. And
what does that mean in practical terms in your life?
That means that no more taking desires of the flesh, no more money, no more approval from the world and everything else.
Okay. Okay. It's more than that, though. I mean, Jesus is everything. Yep. It's not so much a, I can't do this, I shouldn't do that. It's more a, I love him. I want him. It's a different focus. It's when you follow Jesus, Jesus is the focus. And if Jesus is not the focus, you're not following Jesus. Even if you might be stopping, you know, bad behaviors and whatever, you might be focused on, I'm just going to stop doing these. That's not following Jesus, because Jesus isn't the focus in there. He has to be the focus. He has to be the focus of your life. And when he becomes the focus of your life, you're following him. That's the idea. And it, you know, it'll look maybe different in different lives in terms of how that plays out. But Jesus is everything. That's what needs to be. For you, for me, for everybody. When you follow Jesus, mm-hmm. what can you expect?
Peace.
Joy. Okay, yeah.
Happiness, not joy, not happiness, joy.
Okay, peace, purpose. Joy. Okay.
Well, you're also going to face hardships too.
Yeah, you can expect hardship. That's true.
You know, you can expect that you may be rejected by people because you're a follower of Jesus.
Okay. Yes, that's true. Maybe I shared this here, but I mean, if you think of what Jesus did, he walked to the cross. And then says, follow me. Okay, if the guy you're following goes to a cross, guess where you're going? Yeah. You have to be ready to go to a cross. I don't mean literally you're going to be crucified on a Roman cross. We don't do that. You know, people don't do that anymore. But it will be hard. But it will be good. You know, some of the best things in the world are the hardest things in the world. That's just true. And following Jesus is the hardest thing you will ever do. And it is the best thing you will ever do. There isn't anything better than that. But I don't want you to be mistaken that it's just going to be real easy. Because it's not. Going to be real easy. these men, so where these men are, I told you they're in the come and see stage. Let's come and see. And they do not fully understand what's coming. They don't right now understand. In fact, Nathaniel, he says, you're the Son of God. You're the King of Israel. And Jesus says, oh, you believe just because I said I saw you under the fig tree? You're going to see greater things than these. In other words, Nathaniel doesn't really understand what's coming. Jesus says, you're going to see, you think this is something? Just you wait. That's the idea that Jesus is saying to him. And so you don't fully understand either what's coming. These men didn't, and neither do you. You may know you want to do this, but you don't fully know what's coming in the future. Let me ask you this question. Where has life surprised you in following Jesus? You followed him, and then this happened, and it was like, oh, wow, I wasn't expecting that.
I know for me, Mike, at the very beginning, sometimes I would have a goal, and I'd be heading towards the goal yesterday.
Okay.
And the Lord and Jesus could be like, wait, stop. And not literally, but I have falling on my face spiritually because
okay.
I decided to go for things that I wasn't bringing the Lord and Jesus along with me.
Yeah. Okay. Someone else? Where's God surprised you? Let me ask this. So Jesus said to Nathaniel, you believe for that reason? You're going to see greater things than this. Mm-hmm. Okay. Where have you seen greater things because you follow Jesus? Things you weren't expecting. Where have you seen that in following Jesus?
He gave me an amazing wife.
You weren't expecting that?
Well, I went to the conference to find a wife, but I found the Lord instead. And then, 3 years later, Shirley came into my life. And
okay.
Just an amazing, godly woman.
Okay.
So, and my four kids, they were amazing.
So your entire family was, you would fit that category.
Yeah.
Greater things that you weren't really expecting. You didn't come to follow Jesus to get a wife.
Right.
But he gave you one.
He gave me one.
Okay. Good. What else?
For me, I would say I wouldn't expect something surprising. It is true that you can put your anxiety in Jesus' hand, and Jesus can replace that with joy.
Yes,
that was so amazing. So,
yeah,
you know, before I became Christian, I always fit in these kind of anxieties. If something not on my will happened, I was complaining and trying to fix on my own. But now for me, it's like, oh, okay. There's a lot of things out of my control.
Yes.
And I can pray to see the beauty in those sufferings.
Okay.
And I pray that Jesus replaced my suffering feeling and anxiety with joy. And it did happen.
Okay.
And I can see beauty in those bad things. This kind of feeling will come out.
So you were surprised by joy.
Yeah, surprised.
Yeah, you and C.S. Lewis. He wrote a book called Surprised by Joy. And that's what he said in his book is, this is the thing about Christianity that surprised me the most, was the joy.
Yeah.
He didn't see that coming. And there it was.
It's coming,
yeah.
Yeah.
What else?
December, my advisor passed away, and before that, I was thinking through my advisor, I could have connection, mm-hmm. I could have his recommendation later. So in the future, I could find a very good job in university, faculty job. But after he passed away, and I feel God gave me hope, and he will need me, and he will guide me no matter where I go.
Praise the Lord. And when that happened,
last December.
No, what I'm going to say is, when that happened, there was peace in that, wasn't there?
I think it still take 1 month, and I cried many times.
Yeah.
And yeah, it took time.
Yeah. But when the hope hit, there's peace in hope.
Yes.
Okay. Anyone else?
I feel numbness in my heart. I don't know how to love others. And really before I know Christ, I feel like anytime I could end my life in a very passive way. You know, it's not like, oh, I'm satisfied with everything. I tried everything, so I could end my life here. It's not. It's just because I can't feel love in this world.
Mm-hmm.
I've just so hopeless. I don't know what's the meaning of my life.
Yeah.
But after I know Jesus, I feel He is really the salt and light of my life.
Yeah.
Yeah. At some point, I want to end my life. It's right after I achieve a great success. Like, it's a long time ago, and I achieve it. I feel so empty in my heart.
Mm-hmm.
I want to quit my life because I have no one to share with.
Yeah.
No, but at that exact moment, I feel it's also God put that idea in my mind. It's like, maybe you could like still be alive and to see what's gonna happen in your life.
Mm.
But now, after I know Christ, I was like, I'm so excited to live to the life Jesus has designed for me.
Yes.
Even before I was born.
Yeah, you know, praise the Lord.
Yeah, the purpose and no more emptiness in my heart. And another thing is no more overthinking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I used to overthink a lot. Why should I have a family, not me, and things like that. Yeah.
Okay.
It's unfair.
Good.
It's unfair.
So you had some family issues, but you know what? You have a family here.
Yeah.
And that's in Christ. So we talked about how all of these people who are coming to know Jesus in the text in John, they came through introductions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Somebody else introduced them.
Right.
John introduced the two disciples, Andrew and the other guy. Andrew introduced Simon Peter. Philip introduced Nathanael. We see this pattern, right? People come to Jesus because somebody else introduces them to Jesus. That's how it's working here. That's how it still works. It hasn't stopped. Every single person in this room who knows Jesus was introduced to him by somebody.
Yes.
By at least one person, if not multiple people. There may have been many people who are involved in introducing you to Jesus. And that's the way it works. So what does it take to introduce someone to Jesus?
Enough.
What did it take for Andrew to introduce Simon, his brother, to Jesus?
Time.
Was it complicated? No, it's pretty simple.
Yeah.
He goes to his brother and says, "Hey, I think we found the Messiah." That's pretty much it. What did it take for Philip to introduce Nathanael to Jesus?
Believe.
Okay, yeah, you got to believe first, obviously. Right. But then once you believe, what did it take?
Concern, love.
Okay.
Care. I care about my friend.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, so question for you. Who do you need to introduce to Jesus? I want you to think of a name. Who do you need to introduce to Jesus? And now I want you to just give me a name.
My father.
Okay. Someone else. Give me a name.
Mustafa.
Mustafa.
Okay.
Wife, Ivy.
Yeah. Okay, good. My sister.
My sister too.
Your sister too.
My father.
Okay. Okay, next question. How can you do that? Think of the name that you just said. What is something God would be saying for you to do to introduce this person to Jesus? Remember, it's an introduction. You don't have to know everything. You don't have to pile on the whole. It's an introduction. Mm-hmm. It was real simple. Philip didn't pile on a lot of stuff. He just said, hey, I think we found the guy.
Right.
I mean, that's basically it, right?
The guy.
Yeah, the Messiah.
There he is.
Don't see it.
The one we've been looking for. I think we found him. That's it.
Right.
And then there's a come and see kind of thing, right? Mm-hmm. And then they explore, and you know, it's okay to go through a process. There's nothing wrong with that. That's normal. Mm-hmm. And so then how can you introduce that name that you've got in your mind, that person or people, to Jesus? What's that take?
Prayer.
Yeah. Prayer.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Prayer really hard.
Yeah.
Pray. That's good.
Spend time with them.
Okay, sure.
Just love on them and not be judgmental.
Okay, love on them.
And, yeah, you know, you might be the only person in their lives that is showing them the love of Jesus.
Yeah.
So, I know I hope I've been showing my parents that, but given their advanced ages, you know, I've heard many times over from them that they refuse to change, they refuse to repent, and all that. So I decided a long time ago, brothers and sisters, that I would give them over to God, because I used to think for many, many years that would be my personal mission, to bring Frederick and Mary Falvo to the Father. But in fact, I learned over many years,
no,
that's not Chris's mission.
No.
Okay.
So.
Okay. What I'd like to do is this. I want to close in prayer, and I'm just going to open it up for prayer. I want you to pray for whoever that person is that you have in mind. Pray for that person's heart and God to reach that person.
Yes.
Pray for God to do that.
Yes.
And
only God.
Then, yep. And then ask for God's grace, yes, to just show you how best to do that, to make an introduction. For whatever that looks like in your world, it will look different in different worlds with different people. But just ask for God's grace to show you how to do that. And keep your prayers brief, short. We're not looking for, you know, 10-minute prayers. And then I'll close us in just a minute. And so go ahead and pray.